this changes everything. And it's a series where we're looking at four areas of our life that if we get right, will change everything, not only for our year, but I truly believe our entire life. Four areas that if we get right, will change everything. And so if you missed last Sunday, let me give you a quick series overview. Pastor Dustin kicked off the series teaching on our relationship with God. The best thing you can start the series off with, our relationship with God. And more specifically, he talked about the benefits of daily time with God. He also introduced the resource webpage that is citizen.church/TCE, which stands for This Changes Everything. And here in a moment, we'll have the QR code with the webpage there because every week we'll be uploading the resources. But if you missed it, I'd encourage you, strongly encourage you, go back and watch it online. And on that page, you can find the link to the sermon. Today, though, we're talking about our relationships with others. Next week is our money/personal finances. And the last week of the series is our church involvement. And our theme verse for the series is chapter 12, verse 2. And I think this is such a pivotal verse for us because in order to see change in our life, we have to change the way we live our life. Like if we're gonna see God do something in us, we need to do something that brings about change in our life. If we wanna see change in our life, there has to be some decisions to be made. Like we have to choose for change to happen. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this, and I wanna read it from the Message translation. It says, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking." And let me just pause and say this. Oftentimes that'll happen if we're not being intentional in living out our faith. We can find ourselves going from day to day, week to week, month to month, so on and so forth, with our head down, and suddenly we can look up and go, I don't look any different from anyone else who I know has chosen not to live for Christ. Or maybe they don't know Christ simply because they've never had the opportunity to know Christ. But we can find ourselves looking up and blending in with culture without even thinking about it if we're not intentional in living out our faith. And I think this series is all about intentionality, about looking at our life, evaluating some things in our life and how to see a difference be made and how to see change happen for the better in our life. It goes on to say this, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize. I love that. Ready. Be ready to recognize what it is that he wants from you. And then here it is. Quickly respond to it. So be ready to recognize what God wants to do in your life and then quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And I don't know about you, but in my own life, that's what I want to be said of me when it comes to living for Christ, that there is a well-formed maturity in me though. There's something that's like, man, you're growing in your faith. God is doing something in you. You're not perfect, but God is maturing you day by day, week by week. So here we are, week two, our relationships with others. And relationships are so important for us to get right. If we can't get our relationships right, we're miserable. And the people around us are miserable. If there's something going on in our life that we can't get this right, we find ourselves frustrated, we're annoyed, we're impatient. I think it's so important that we get this right. In fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, "There was a man all alone, had no one, no relationships, no one in his life, all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth." I'd summarize this verse by saying this, the wealthiest people in the world are not the ones with the most money, but the ones that have the healthiest relationships. The wealthiest people in the world are not the ones who are the richest, the wealthiest, you know, they have the money, all whatever it is. Those are not the wealthiest people. It's the people who have the healthiest relationships. It's the people that others enjoy being around. I love you could probably even think about these people where they encourage you, they lift you up. There's a joy to be around them. But the opposite is true, where there's people that maybe you avoid, maybe you don't want to be around. The tough question to ask is this me? Like, am I that person? Am I the one maybe where it's like people don't want to be around me? People are like, I'm trying to avoid that person at all costs. And when it comes to our relationship with others, here's what I know. If I want every relationship in my life to get better, I have to get better. But what does that mean? I have to grow spiritually. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says this, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. You see, there's nothing wrong with a baby having baby food. Like, that's normal. That's fine. There is something wrong that as we age, if we were to live off of baby food, that would be weird. Like, there's nothing wrong if you're in here and you're a new believer and you have characteristics maybe of what that looks like, some spiritual immaturity. And I'm not saying that to be rude or anything like that. If you're a new believer in here, there are some characteristics of a new believer. And some of these characteristics look like crying as a way of communication. Like, there's no way of communication. Maybe there's crying. I've seen this in my own life. If I'm not checking my heart and what's going on in my own life, I find myself complaining. Maybe just kind of crying, you know, like that's my form of just, oh, woe is me, all that's going on in the world. Another characteristic is that babies, they can't feed themselves. They rely on someone else to feed them. But as we grow in Christ, instead of just crying or complaining, what do? We know to go to Christ in prayer. And instead of just, you know, depending on someone else to feed us spiritually, nothing wrong with that, but throughout the week, we know how to feed ourselves spiritually through God's word. Like, there should be a development. There should be some type of spiritual growth that happens in our life. It's okay if you show up that way, but there should be development. We should be growing in our relationship with Christ. And truly, I mean that sincerely. So today's message, it's for every type of relationship. You might have walked in thinking, oh my goodness, relationships. Is this marriage only? Is this friendship only? What is this, coworkers or what? No, I truly believe it's for every relationship. Married, if you're married, this is for you. If you're single and looking, this is for you. And just do me a favor. If you are single and looking here at our Central Campus and North Campus, if you have enough boldness, go ahead and just raise. No, don't raise your hand. I'm kidding. But if you were serious about that, you are about to raise your hand. Like, you said it, bro, single and looking. Let's go. I mean, what a great place to find someone, you know, in the house of God. So, like, you are ready to go, but I stopped it quick. We're not, you know, you need to work on that. And, you know, North Campus in the atrium, we have a great coffee shop here at our Central Campus, a big atrium. You can spend some time instead of rushing out. You can talk to some people. So I'd highly encourage that if you're single and looking. Also, if you're single and not looking, this is for you. You're like content in life. You're like, the Lord's working on me. That's great. I love that. If you're engaged, if you're needing help with coworkers, neighbors, your home life with parents, children, siblings, this is for you. Because when it comes to bettering yourself through that process, you ultimately better every relationship in your life. When you begin to work on yourself, your relationships are worked on. When we're healthy, our relationships are healthy. And that doesn't mean that we never come in contact with difficult people, but we handle difficult people in a healthy way. Why? Because we are healthy. But also, on the contrary, if our relationships are hurting, it's typically because we ourselves are hurting. And if we're hurting, we tend to impose our hurt on others, which in turn hurts our relationships. You probably know a very well-known quote that goes, hurt people do what? Say, hurt people. That's right. Hurt people hurt people. I'll never forget, on kind of a lighter note of this, when I was in college, I had a roommate that was kind of messy. And if you know me at all, like, cleanliness is like high priority. And honestly, it's not a lot to hang my hat on. It's because it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's like, I'm not the smartest guy or something. So I'm like, oh, cleanliness. You know, I don't know. That sounds so sad. But it's just, that was very depressing. I think I'm smart, but I just really value cleanliness. And my roommate was not that. He was the opposite of that. Like, I'd walk in and there would be like socks on the ground, you know, dare I say some underwear, you know. And there was this invisible line in the middle of the room. And it was just kind of like, okay, you can keep that in your life. You can do that in your world. You start to cross this invisible line, you're crossing a line, bud. You know, like, you don't do that. Don't do that. Well, sure enough, like, early on, I saw signs of this. Like, man, this guy, he's a little messy, you know, and I would, you know, self-talk. Like, it's okay, Chris, you're just extreme. Like, it's okay. It is okay. But I was like, no, this is not okay. It's not okay. I found myself like going to classes and like I couldn't concentrate. Like I'd be in class, like this is affecting my grades, you know, like that's the kind of stuff like, you know, I would say to myself. And I was like, this is not good. So I was in class one day. I thought I got it. I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give this guy a taste of his own medicine, which every time I say this in every service, it's like, it makes no sense. You're gonna give this guy a taste of his own medicine, which would be making it more messy. But he obviously has no problem with the mess. And so I don't know. I got back to the room and I was like opening up the drawers and I was just like, you know, little flick of the wrist right there. Just like, oh, take that pair of socks right there. You know, just right there on your little side right there. How do you like that? Dare I say, maybe. Can't confirm, deny, you know, maybe a pair of underwear or two, you know, just throw it over there. Like, take that, you know, see, you know, and it's just, and I was thinking, this isn't going to work. I don't know what else to do. Conflict resolution. This is awkward for me. You know, I'm just a college student. You know, I don't know. Like, what do I do? How do I address this? And sure enough, the Lord heard the Lord. That's how we say it in Texas. Not really heard. The Lord heard my cry. And my roommate walks into the room and he goes, man, it's getting messy in here. And I was just like I heard those words. I was like, there it is. I stood up from my desk. I was like, dude, it is getting messy in here. It is. You're right. You know what we should do? Let's just take action. Let's begin to pick this up right now. I'll start. I'm going to go grab my socks right over here. You go and grab yours over there. And let's just, and here's the thing. On a more serious note, and it really never got fixed because he was obviously okay living like that. That was my attempt, though, of trying to have someone feel what I felt. And that's a much lighter version of this. But on a more serious note, this is how we tend to live our lives. I mean, I'm experiencing something. I'm going through some pain. I'm hurting. You better feel this too. I'm not going to be the only one. I want you to experience what it is that I'm experiencing. Because when I'm hurting, you're going to hurt too. When I'm going through something, I'm going to impose that on you, whether you want that or not. And there's a difference between great friends being empathetic and other people having to take on your hurt. And that's oftentimes the way that we live our life. We say, you know what, you're going to take this on. But the Bible gives us such clarity on why it is that we do that. In James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says this. What causes this? Like, think about what I just talked about, the behavior, the way that we live, the way that we want to put this on others. It says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle, here it is, within you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Notice it does not say, don't they come from the battles that come from someone else or other people? It's something inside of us. You want something but don't get it, which that statement alone is the source of frustration for people. Like when you want something but can't get it, that is extremely frustrating. It goes on to say, you kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have. Why? Because you do not ask God. You do not ask God. So let me just kind of give you the summary of this. There's a battle within ourselves. We can acknowledge that's what scripture says. There's something going on the inside. We want something, but don't know how to get it. So what people settle for, if they don't live according to the truth, they settle for killing, coveting, quarreling, and fighting. So what we want, but don't get, is the opposite of those things. If you're taking notes, write this down. What we want, but don't get, is this: life-giving relationships instead of relationships that take the life out of us. Killing. We want relationships that are life-giving. What we want but don't get is this: being content in our relationships instead of coveting. We want to be able to be content in our relationships. What we want but don't get is having peace in our relationships instead of quarreling and fighting. James says the reason we don't have this is because there's a battle going on internally and because we don't ask God. We don't talk to God. It reminds me of the scripture that Jesus talks about: asking, seeking, knocking. We have not because we ask not. And so today, I want to give us four prayers to help us. And I really want to emphasize this: help us. It's us doing what we can do so that God can do only what God can do. It's not just a matter of, great, I'll say these prayers, and it better happen. Something better change in them. Like, it's going to take a miracle for God to change me. It should be a mindset of, God, help us. Help us with this. Help us. You do what only you can do, and I'm going to do my part in what I can do. And so these four prayers help us that we'll better ourselves to, in turn, better every relationship in our life. Here we go. They're prayers, four prayers. The first one is this: God, will you change me? God, will you change me? I think so often we get fixated on the thought of it's external. It's the people around me. But the moment we begin to live this way of thinking and we express it, in a way, if we're not careful, we begin to remove the power of God and what he can do on the inside of us by only blaming the external. When God wants to do something internally in our lives, but all we're saying is, no, it's external. It's someone else. You have to change them. But I think when it comes to healthy relationships, it starts with us. We have to be healthy if we're going to see health within our relationships. You might be wondering, who actually prays this? David, Psalm chapter 51, verse 10, it says this: create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create a steadfast spirit within me. What's a steadfast spirit? Someone who remains calm, cool, and collected when things seem out of control. When things seem crazy, relationally, whatever it might be, David is saying, do this in me. Create a pure heart in me, a steadfast spirit in me, someone who could be calm, someone who could be assured that God is in control. He's saying, put that in me. I'm not saying do it in someone else. Start in me. This is why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the same time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus is telling us, start with yourself. Look in your own life to see if there's something going on. Look to see if there's something going on in your heart. Look to see if there's something deep and going on in your soul. Something that might seem off, out of character. He's saying, start there and then begin to examine someone else. But it starts with us, which is why the first prayer is, God, will you change me? The first ask. And that's what James talks about, is you have not because you're not asking. No one is asking God. So God, relationally, will you change me? Many of us keep trying to change others when God wants to change us. God wants to do something in our life. Matthew 18:3, it says this, and he said, I tell you the truth, here it is, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus isn't saying that believers should remain immature, but that they should adopt childlike qualities. Qualities such as humility, trust, dependence. Those are childlike qualities. Humility, children are generally reliant on others for their needs. Trust, a child usually trusts their caregiver. Dependence, children, for the most part, depend on someone for guidance and provision. We've got a 2-year-old. We've got a child who's about to turn 13, a 10-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And let me tell you, for the most part, this is the way that our little girl lives her life. There is humility, there's trust, there's dependence. And when it comes to change, let me give you 10 reflective questions to ask yourself. And we're gonna put these up on the screen. And this is where what I referenced at the beginning, the QR code, the resource webpage. A lot of people have said how much this has helped them already, just with us having both weeks up there already. So if you miss it, don't take a photo, whatever. Just save this, maybe take a photo of this so you can go back to it later, because there is homework at the end of this. There's a little bit of homework I wanna give you, but this is just a reflective moment. And I will say, if you're like that student who's just like an overachiever and you wanna write this down, maybe for some of them, feel free to do it, but I just want you to start thinking about these questions. Number one is this: when it comes to change, where might I be hurting in my own life that could be affecting those around me? What is it in my own life that might be hurting that could be affecting the relationships around me? Number two, who do I wanna be known as in all my relationships? Who do I want people to see me as? How do I wanna be known? Number three, how do those closest to me characterize me? What would they say about me? What is it that when I, you know, if someone hears my name, they begin to think about something? How would they characterize me? Number four, who has permission to speak truth into my life? And I'll say this, most of the time, a lot of people don't have someone speaking into their life simply because they've never given someone permission to speak into their life. And I know it'd be such a great world if it was just like, well, they should know. They should know. We have a closeness. Like, they should know. I'm telling you, you have to tell people. You, people you trust, people you know who have just the best interest in mind for you, but also people who tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. It's those people that you say, you have permission to speak into my life. You can call me out on things. When something doesn't seem right, when I'm acting irrational, you have every right. You have permission to speak into my life. I think about the relationship between Paul and Timothy. Everyone needs a Paul in their life. Everyone needs someone who's maybe more spiritually mature than themselves to be able to say, hey, I want to point something out to you. Who has permission to speak truth in your life? Number five, how is my soul? My inner spiritual life. How is my soul? All right, we're going to go to the next one. Number six, what is one bad habit I have in relationships that I want to work on? What is one bad habit in relationships that I want to work on? Number seven, is my public and private life aligned? Does it look the same? The way that I live in front of others and the way that when I'm around no one else, does my life look consistently the same? Is it aligned? Number eight, do my insecurities affect my relationships with others? I think for a lot of us, we would quickly say yes, and then just end right there. It's just like, yes, it does. So I'll go a step further and just say, how are you combating that then? How are you combating those insecurities that are affecting your relationships with others? Like, what is it that you do? And for some of us, we don't have a plan. And so therefore, we find ourselves in the same place always relationally in damage control because we're finding ourselves facing insecurities and we don't know what to do. How do you combat the insecurities when you feel them and face them? Number nine, do the people closest to me love and respect me the most? Do the people closest to me love and respect me the most? And number 10, last one is this. Could I be the source of tension in my relationships because of my attitude or unwillingness to change and grow? And I know it can seem so daunting to think about this in every area of relationships, but I would challenge you to do it. I really would. In your marriage, your friendships, your dating life, with coworkers, neighbors, in your community, whatever it might be, classmates, think about these questions and reflect upon them. Because I'm telling you, as you begin to grow in health, you'll see your relationships get healthier. Second prayer is this. God, will you help me put others first? God, will you help me put others first? God, will you help me put them first? God, will you help me put my spouse first? Will you help me put my friends first? Will you help me put my coworkers first? And there's a reason for that. And for starters, Jesus says this in Mark chapter 9, verse 35. If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. Here's what's to be expected. If when we hurt others, then we can expect that when others hurt, they might do what? Hurt us. If we know that, and we'd say, that's true about my own life, that when I'm hurting, I'm going to hurt others. And we might use that as justification. Like, I'm hurting, so I'm just going to be able to hurt others. But the reality is, if you would acknowledge that's true in your own life, you have to do the same for others around you. That you might find yourself hurt because of the relationships you're in. Those people, they might be hurting. So what does it look like for us to put others first? It looks like recognizing that something might be going on in someone else's life. And these next set of scriptures are so convicting. Proverbs, a book all on wisdom, it tells us this. In chapter 10, verse 12, love overlooks the wrongs that others do. Love will overlook the wrongs that others do. As believers, this is a challenge for us, that the wrongs that others do, love will say, I love you enough to know there's probably something going on in your life. I know that's uncharacteristic. Maybe it isn't uncharacteristic of them, but there's deep hurt, deep wounds in their life. And you know that about them. Love says, I'm gonna overlook this. Proverbs 12:16 says, when a fool is annoyed, he quickly lets it be known. Wise people will ignore an insult. It's like they bring down the room when they're annoyed. It's just like everyone knows. They let it be known. It's quick. But wise people, they'll ignore an insult. The last one is this, Proverbs 19:11. It says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. You see, love has the ability to look past the behavior to see the pain in people's lives. I mean, that's an ability. And that's what love does for us. And I think about our own lives and what the scriptures tell us. That while we were still sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. Love has the ability to look past the behavior, to look past what's going on, to see the pain in people's lives. Third prayer is this: God, will you help me forgive them? God, will you help me forgive them? And forgiveness is not easy. It's extremely difficult. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. The disciples are like, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And in this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says this, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Like, it's known that as believers, forgive us, God, and then it's like assumed as we have forgiven others. As believers, that is a challenge for us. I'm gonna be honest with you, that's a challenge for me. God, forgive me as I forgive others. It's not, you know, God, forgive me, I might forgive them. Maybe. God, forgive me, I'm not, you know, I don't know. Probably not. God, forgive me as I forgive them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, you must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Forgiving someone won't change the past, but it can change my future. Forgiving someone won't change the past, but it can change my future. Here's what I know about forgiveness, or unforgiveness, I should say. When it comes to unforgiveness, essentially, if I'm choosing not to forgive someone, it's as if I'm taking a key to my own prison cell, throwing it away, walking into the prison cell, closing the doors behind me, and locking myself in my own prison of bitterness, frustration, and a long road of just that. When I choose to not forgive someone, and can I tell you, time does not heal all wounds. Forgiveness heals wounds. It's us saying, I'm gonna forgive you. And can I tell you, sometimes time is great. In fact, I've really tried to work on, even this last year, give it 24 to 48 hours, maybe even give it a week. Sometimes I'm like, 24 ain't enough, I'm still mad. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, nope, 24, not do it. That did not do it. In fact, it made it worse, you know? But I wanna tell you this, what I'm not doing is just letting time go on. What I am doing 24 to 48 hours is praying this prayer. Lord, help me to forgive them. Lord, help me to forgive them. I've been forgiven. God, help me in my heart. Help me. I know what they did was wrong. I know for a fact they were wrong. You might feel that way. I know it was them. Lord, help me to forgive them. C.S. Lewis said this, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. I think, and the last thing I just want to say on this, I think about Jesus when he's on the cross. The people who put them on the cross right in front of him. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. Why? For they know not what they do. You talk about having love that sees past pain, the hurt, the internal pain that's going on in someone's life. They put Jesus on the cross and Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I think about the people who've wronged me. God, help me to forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. They don't know any better. They don't know what's going on. They're not living for you. They don't know you. I know that there's deep trauma. There's something that's happened in their past, just like in my own life. I know that to be true of myself. So how could I neglect seeing that in someone else's life? I want to be able to see that. God, help me with that. And the last one is this. Last prayer is, God, will you help me to love them like you do? God, will you help me to love them like you do? Because really, at the end of the day, relationships, people are not the problem. God sees them, he sees them with love because he created them. He created you, he loves you, he loves them too, despite the wrong that they've done. But people are not the problem, as much as we want them to be. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it tells us this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our real enemy, Satan. And Satan would like to do anything in his power to ruin your relationships, to ruin your life. The Bible says in John 10:10 that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to do that in your life. But then the verse continues. Jesus says, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly. And that's the way Jesus wants us to live our life. But the enemy wants to try to work through people to cause hurt, damage, pain. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, it says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. By what? If you love one another. Sometimes people talk about love like it's uncontrollable. Like, I just fell in love. Like, love is a ditch. Love is a hole. You know, like, I just fell into it. I was walking. I didn't want to fall into it, but I just fell into it. Just fell in love. I didn't see it. Wasn't my plan. Wasn't on my path. Here I am. I just disappeared on everyone. I just fell into it. But the reality is this. Love is a choice. Every single day, love is a choice. And this is what Jesus is referencing and talking about when he asks us and commands us to pick up our cross and carry it daily. Love is a choice. And we choose daily to put love on. And the scriptures actually describe it as that we put love on. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. And over all these virtues, put on love. Put on love. Wear it. Clothe yourself in it, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So here's how I want to end today. Some people would say that experience is the best teacher. And I think that's great. I would say evaluated experience is the best teacher. I know a lot of people have been doing things for a long time. They haven't evaluated anything. It's just like you have experience for 1 year and you've done it for 19 times, 19 years. You know, it's just like you're just kind of going. You're not evaluating anything. It's like, I've been here for a long time. I have experience. Evaluated experience is different. It's looking and saying and acknowledging, okay, I'm going to identify some parts of my life where it's like, I could grow in this part of my life. I could grow in these relationships. I could get better in these relationships. And so what I want to do is give you 6 relational areas of your life to evaluate, to look over. And your homework is to write down 1 sentence of how you want to make that area of your life better. You ready? This is on the it's a QR code. It's on the webpage. First area is this, my faith life. My faith life. And this is my relationship with God. And I have some example sentences of just 1 sentence of how you want to see this type of relationship get better. To spend daily time in prayer, to deepen my relationship with God. And I want you, since it's 1 sentence, to do your best to be as specific as possible. For me, at one point, this wasn't just an example sentence. This was real. Because I found myself doing a better job at being in God's word, but I was neglecting talking to God. And so for me, I evaluated that relationship, my relationship with God, and said, I want to grow in prayer this year. And I want to still keep the same measure of me being in God's word. I want to keep that up. I want to keep growing in God's word. But also, I want to just talk to God because God desires to hear from me. And so that was a real one. For you, maybe it's growing in God's word and reading God's word more consistently. And there's great plans and resources that are even on that page now, truly, where it's like even Pastor Dustin talked about some amazing Bible apps that can help you in this. And be consistent in reading God's word, or at least being more faithful in that area. For others, maybe it's finding more community here at church or in community groups, whether that's small groups or alpha groups, it'll be launching soon. Whatever it might be, maybe that's the area that you need to grow. Some of you leave so fast and you're wondering, where are the other believers? And do your best to connect with them. Take time, get to know others. Really, that's a challenge, truly. Number 2, second area is this marriage life. My relationship with my spouse. To daily express love and appreciation to my spouse through words and small acts of kindness. Pro tip, maybe build this around your spouse's love language. Bigger pro tip, if you don't know your spouse's love language, find out yesterday. You need to find that out. Like, it's maybe you build this sentence around one of their love languages. And honestly, I know I keep referencing it. It's like, geez, dude, is everything on this website? But like, yes, even that is on the webpage, the resource page. If you've never read this book on the love languages, it's there available to you. The third area is this, dating life, my relationship with my boyfriend or girlfriend, to have physical boundaries in place and to have accountability in both of our lives. For some of you, you need to grow together in your relationship with God. You need to have boundaries in place so that you can walk into your marriage in a healthy way. And some of you, maybe there's ways in which you've looked at this and you feel like you've blown it, you haven't. Maybe you need to evaluate the relationship like Pastor Dustin challenged us last week to see if, is this a relationship? You need to have other godly wisdom that speak into you about that relationship. But I wanna let you know there's grace. I do, I wanna emphasize that. Some of us, we walk into a place and we walk into church and we feel like I'm too far gone. I messed up too many times. God sees you, he loves you. He loves you. And there's ways in which we've sinned. We've all the Bible says, fallen short of God's glory. There's no like special someone, no one on stage. No, everyone has fallen short of God's glory, but there's hope for everyone. There's forgiveness for everyone. There's peace, life, because Jesus resurrected from the grave and we can have eternal life in him. The next one is this family life, my relationship with my family, to intentionally plan quality time, to actively listen and engage with each family member. Number five, office and school life, my relationship with coworkers or classmates, to practice empathy and effective communication, to build trust and collaboration with coworkers or classmates, to be a light to wherever it is that God has called me. And some of us, we're trying to run from that. God has you there for a reason. Maybe it's just for a season, but God has you there to be a light, to be salt, to be able to encourage someone else. You might be the only one that's light that they'll ever see. You might be the only one that speaks words of encouragement over them. God has you there for a reason. Six, and the last one is this social life. My relationship with friends, to stay in touch with friends consistently and show genuine interest in their lives. So that's the homework. Some of you, you might finish really fast. Some of you, you might want to take this next week. I encourage you, finish it before next Sunday. But honestly, this is what being the church looks like. We're getting into God's word and we're saying, you know what? I'm challenged to take this with me. It's not something where it's just, I'm going to be fed spiritually only on Sunday. No, I'm going to grow. I'm going to go through this. I'm going to work on this throughout the week. I want to get better at this. And it's not just all based on my works. No, it's not that. We weren't saved by works. We're saved by faith, but it is us activating and looking holier and getting holier in our relationship with Christ. So God, will you change me? God, will you help me put others first? Help me to put them first. God, will you help me forgive them? God, will you help me to love them like you do? Here's what I know. Some of you are in here. You have a very difficult time loving other people because you've never experienced the love of Christ in your own life. And I know that from experience. I was someone who didn't know Christ. And I can remember not caring at all how my relationships were with family, friends, anyone. Like there was, it did not matter to me. But when I experienced the love of Christ, when I experienced forgiveness, when I experienced mercy and grace, my heart began to change for people. And I'm telling you this much, when you begin to pray for people, your heart begins to change for people. But I want to say this, when you experience something like the love of Christ, you can't help but extend that towards others. And so what I wanna do is just ask, if you're in here and you don't know Christ, you haven't accepted him into your life, you're not living for him, here in a moment, I wanna give you that opportunity. So if you could, heads bowed, eyes closed, just a moment between you and God, just for you to reflect and think about this. Am I living for Christ? If that's you, you say, no, I'm not, but today I wanna make that decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I'm gonna ask you on the count of three just to raise your hand. You say, we're 12 days into the new year, so I wanna make sure this starts off right. I wanna know Christ. But not only do I wanna know Christ, I wanna see Christ begin to develop and shape me and mold me, like we talked about last week. You say, I need to know the love of Christ in my life. If that's you on the count of three, raise your hand. One, two, three. I see your hand, I see your hand, I see your hand, I see your hand, I see your hand. See it, see it, see it, see it. See it, see it, see it, see it. I see it. Those of you that raise your hand, you can put it right back down. Thank you so much. And here's what I want to do. I just want to pray for you. But I not only want to just pray for you or have you repeat something back, I want you, maybe for some of you, this is the first time you've prayed. Maybe it's the first time you've prayed in a long time. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. Change me. Make me new. I want to begin to live for you. I'm going to pray for you. But as I do that, as we all do that, I want you just to begin on your own way. Just begin to invite Christ into your life. Jesus, thank you so much for coming here to earth and then going to the cross to die a brutal death for us because of our sin. But God, thank you that 3 days later, you came back to life so that we can have eternal life in you. We can make a decision for you. Our God is on the throne. You resurrected, and we're so thankful. We're so grateful for what you've done in our life. In every hand that was raised today, so many. God, I pray that you'd fill them with your love to then send that love out to others. And those of us that know you in here today, God, I pray that you'd help us evaluate our relationships and that we would ask some hard questions to grow in every relationship, but it starts with us. So God, change us. Do something in us, Lord. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.